May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be always acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated. So who watched the royal wedding yesterday? A lot of people. Did our own Bishop Curry, our presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church, rock that sermon or what? He's an amazing preacher. He did our church proud. Although I felt a little sorry for the royal family, they had never heard Bishop Curry preach before, so they didn't realize when he says, just one more thing and I'm gonna sit down, that's actually marks the halfway point. He says that in every sermon. But another really exciting part of the royal wedding for me was when Harry and Meghan chose my favorite choir anthem as the anthem for their service. It's a song that always goes through my head on Pentecost that I really associate with this feast day. And it's my favorite mostly because it got pounded into my head when I was a child. I grew up in the Episcopal Church singing in the choir, and when I was a kid, the director of my church choir, her name was Becky, she was awesome. She was also really hardcore about what she considered good church music, meaning nothing later than Mozart was even worth considering, with the possible exception of Ray Vaughan Williams. She was an early music person, Baroque and Renaissance. Music was her favorite, and her favorite, who she considered the be-all and end-all of Episcopal or Anglican church music, was Thomas Tallis, the court composer to Queen Elizabeth I. And there was one piece of music that every chorister of Becky's knew by heart because we sang it so often, and it was sung at the royal wedding, Tallis's motet, If Ye Love Me. The words are from our reading from John's Gospel today. And of course, in the old Coverdale Bible translation, in Tallis's time, the King James hadn't been written yet. And they go like this. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may bide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, even the Spirit of truth, even the Spirit of truth. Today is the feast day of that Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. Jesus says he will give us this Spirit to be with us forever. When we baptize children, we light a candle from this Paschal candle and we say, receive the light of Christ. And that light, that candle, is a sign and a symbol of the light within us, the Spirit abiding with us. In the letter to the Romans that Nancy read today, Paul talks about how the Spirit is within us, inside of us, suffering when we suffer, praying for us when we don't know how to pray. John calls this Holy Spirit our comforter, our advocate. And he says that this Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and that the Spirit will give us the power to be truth-telling witnesses. Whenever I hear the word truth in John's Gospel, I always remember Pontius Pilate saying to Jesus, right before he executed him, what is truth? I always hear those words of Pilate in kind of a bored, ironic tone. What is truth anyway, and why does it matter? Jesus says, I have come to testify to the truth. And Pilate replies, what is truth? Well, what is truth? Who has the power to say what is true and what isn't? I think one of the reasons we follow Jesus is he was able to see a truth that others failed to see. The truth that Bishop Curry preached yesterday, that we are created of love, by love, and for love. The truth that all people are our brothers and sisters in God and beloved by God. The truth that no human action is beyond God's redemption or healing. When Jesus ate with outcasts, fed the hungry, refused to condemn the woman caught in adultery or asked the rich young man to value people and not things, he was showing us the truth. So it's important to be clear of what Jesus means by truth. He didn't preach a dogmatic, propositional truth. By propositional truth, I mean things like whether you believe a certain proposition, like, say, whether someone who has lived a very good life but lives in a country where they've never heard of Jesus is going to heaven or hell. Jesus was never into proving propositions like that. I can imagine Jesus saying, what does it matter about a hypothetical person you've never met? That's the kind of truth that gets us saying, what is truth? No, Jesus was talking about and showing a truth that is not propositional, but relational. I recently saw a movie that was about just exactly this thing. It's a Netflix original. I'm a sucker for any movie where the pastor is the main character. This one is called Come Sunday. It's based on a true story about the Reverend Carlton Pearson, the pastor of a very successful large church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and who was kind of a hand-picked successor to Oral Roberts. He went to Oral Roberts University. Martin Sheen plays Oral Roberts in the movie. He's really good. Anyway, one day watching the TV news about a refugee camp in Rwanda, Reverend Pearson stops believing in the proposition that you have to believe in Jesus to go to heaven. Instead, he sees with perfect clarity the relational truth that God would not let innocent children who were living in this horrific refugee camp go to hell. He was so convicted of this, he preached it. He preached Sunday after Sunday. God loves everyone and doesn't condemn anyone to hell, whether or not they believe in Jesus. He said that from the pulpit. And then he lost his job and his church and almost everything else, except his faith. He didn't lose that. He never faltered in his relationship with God. So maybe that's the answer to your question, Pilate. Truth is not a law or a proposition. Truth is a relationship. That's why in our Anglican or Episcopal denomination, the church that was on display at the royal wedding, we don't have any official doctrine or dogma beyond the words of the Nicene Creed. But we do have vows, like the vows you make at a wedding, like the vows you make to someone you love. Not so much to define the commitment, not like a rule, but principles and promises to help you remain faithful to your original intent in entering into that relationship. And today, in just a minute, we're going to renew those vows, as we always do on the Feast of Pentecost. We're going to renew our vow to seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving our neighbor as ourself, to strive for justice and peace among all people, to continue to renew ourselves in prayer and in worship, to resist evil and turn back to God when we fall away. And the new one that was added last year by our church because the truth of it is becoming ever more apparent, to cherish God's creation and to protect it. These are the vows that we make in our baptism as part of our loving relationship with God, and that God helps us keep. And we can keep these vows because we have the Comforter, the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth within us. The Holy Spirit is part of our very being. It is the spark of God that abides within each one of us. We have the Spirit of Truth. We know it's about love. We remind ourselves in renewing our vows, renewing our commitment to the God of love. And in doing that, we become the church whose birthday is today, the church that is the body of Christ. We are Christ to the world. That's what we are baptized into and what the gift of the Holy Spirit means. May the world see us and know the truth of God's love. Amen.